Welcome to the CX Goalkeeper Podcast, where we unlock the winning edge through conversations with industry experts and thought leaders. Each episode explores how transforming business through human experience creates real impact. Join us for actionable insights and fresh perspectives that inspire success. Follow, rate, and review the podcast on your favorite platform. The next episode could spark your next big idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper Podcast. So today, a new discussion. We are going to discuss about innovate or die, why proactive service is key to lasting success. And today I'm super thrilled because I have Valerie back together with me. Hi, Valerie. How are you?
Hi there. How are you today?
As usual, super energized to be ready and being ready for this discussion, keen to kick off this discussion. And as usual,
as mine.
That's great. As usual, before we deep dive into the topic, let's learn more about you. Valerie, could you please introduce yourself?
I've been wandering around customer experience from a number of different places for most of the 25 years I've been in business. I started out as a psychology major and found out that I couldn't get a job. So I found technology, and that's been a key to my career. The blend of psychology meets technology interwoven so that it could then be used to delight customers so that they become long-term partners in success has pretty much been my whole journey. And it's taken lots of interesting twists and turns.
Thank you very much. And perhaps we spoke a bit in the introduction. You also are doing projects. You're a consultant. You're offering webinars and so on. Could you please share a bit what you're doing?
Sure. I have probably been on all of the different axes of experience. I started out in technology, actually, interestingly enough, at the phone company. And so I've been a practitioner, a consultant, and a technology partner for folks. And I kind of always gravitate back to consulting because it's an opportunity to kind of put your toe in everything. And so that has been probably a leading thing in my life is coming back to be able to do the innovation around a lot of different subjects. Because when you work in a lot of different industries and with a lot of different consultant types and company types, you're able to take some of the innovation from one and mix it up with a little bit of the others, and it becomes an interesting alchemy.
Great. And now I'm keen to ask this question. Which values drive your professional life?
I learned something long, long ago that the only thing you die with is your integrity. And so doing the right things and the thing right is probably the guiding principle of my whole career. And that has some place in it. It builds trust, right? And if you're trustable as you do that, you end up with having clients and relationships that go long further than a particular project. And then the other thing is curiosity. Curiosity and constant innovation. Pushing that envelope is something rather than kind of doing the tried and true over and over. You can start there to build that trust. But having curiosity and ideation is the other core value that's always served me well.
Thank you very much for sharing your values with us. Now we know a little bit more about you, Valerie, and therefore let's start the game. Innovate or die, why proactive service is key to lasting success. The first question I would like to ask you is, what does it mean to approach customer experience in a proactive way, in an innovative way, with curiosity, rather than in a reactive way? And why is this shift so important today?
Sure. Well, customer experience, and you know, the first thing I always ask people is to define customer experience because it is something that's been more discussed and less defined than anything I've ever experienced. So in today's world, I've seen CX in many cases devolved into survey taking and scores, mostly net promoter score. And then people build the dashboard. They follow up on the bad scores or comments, and that's about all they do. And I call that chasing failure, right? So what if you took the intelligence you collect on a daily basis and that same process and use it at the front of the process as compared to doing it at the end. So doing that in the front can apply to strategy, design, execution, and it should apply to acquisition, retention, and growth. So being proactive when well executed gets you to that core again that I talked about of doing things right. So some of the examples of that might be looking at proactive CX strategies that help a company actually get ahead of customer needs and expectations.
Thank you. Now, I need to ask this question. What is your definition of customer experience?
So there's customer experience is really two things. It's the customer's experience, what I experience as I go through a relationship with the company, and the customer experience, which is what is served up to them, right? So it is the actual articulation of a brand promise in a company, the whole company-wide, not just on onboarding or on customer success or even worse, survey taking, right? It is the relationship that either B2B or B2C that individuals and groups have with each other and with the company that is providing a service or a product to them.
Thank you.
So it's a big umbrella as compared to a little umbrella.
Oh, yes. And it, as you said at the beginning, is much more than a survey or an NPS score. Now, going off script, but I would like to ask this question.
Uh-oh.
You mentioned that and you shared these words, brand promise. And I think this is really key. Every brand is different. They want to differentiate themselves on the market and they need to attract, keep the customer. Is there an experience from the past that you can remember and you can share with us what was really an extremely good customer experience or a really bad customer experience, as usual, without sharing any company names, but your feelings and why it was so good or so bad?
Sure. Well, I think the best experience, and I'll be happy to share their name, that I've had in the last few years has been with L.L. Bean. It's a United States retailer, and they have done an excellent job of actually walking the talk of customers. They don't even actually talk about customer experience. They do it. And the example that I have is kind of interesting. I'm an adventure traveler, and I like traveling all over the world. So we were planning a trip with the group to Africa, and it was during the warm season. So I needed a couple pairs of pants that were the right kind of pants for that experience. And, you know, we were going to have laundry or whatever. And they had the perfect pair of pants that I had one pair. And because I'm very tall, it came in long. So I got online and I noticed that I couldn't buy a particular color online. So I called them and I had the most surprising and delighting experience. The person on the phone welcomed me, knew who I was, noticed that I had been shopping for these pairs of pants and said, gee, it looks like you can't find them in lock. So they were proactive. They already knew what I was doing and they weren't creepy. They were just saying, hey, I see you've been shopping on the site. Can't find long pants, bought long pants before. Let me go look in the stores. And in 5 minutes, they pulled up where someone had two pairs of those pants in different colors. And I had only been looking for one. And they said, would you like me to send you one pair of these? We'll take care of the shipping because, you know, if it's an inconvenience, we'll get it to you tomorrow. But we do have another color as well. Would you like that? Well, of course, I jumped on it. I said, I wasn't really looking for another couple, but I bought it. So they upsold me while they got me the pair of pants. And they said, now we have to call the store because we want to make sure those pants are still in stock because every 24 hours, you know, we do a check. So may we call you or email me even at the number that you have in your system with or their system? And I said, sure. And I truly didn't expect someone to call me back, right? So sure enough, at 9:02, someone calls me and says, hey, Valerie, this is such and so from the store. I don't know, it was in Maryland. And we pulled two pairs of pants. These are really cool pants, by the way. we pull them for you, and can we ship them to you at the address that they were, you know, you're registered at? We'd be thrilled to do that. And they shipped them. They got there on time. And it was a great experience. Now, kind of strange that you would think that something so mundane would be a great experience, but it had all the hallmarks, right? They were proactive. They knew that what I wanted before I actually even knew what I wanted. And they delivered it to me with a discount that I wasn't expecting of free shipping that probably didn't cost them anything. And they followed up. So, gee. And they said, oh, by the way, can you send some pictures of you wearing them in Africa? Because I told them what I was doing. And so it was a great experience. It touched me emotionally. It got me what I needed to do, right? So that's a great example of what experiences should be in an innovative, proactive world.
Thank you very much for sharing your experience as a customer. And now let's go back to your role. Can you share another example of proactive customer experience strategies that help companies stay ahead of customer needs and expectations, perhaps that you did in the past?
Sure. So again, what these people did, and again, by analyzing touch points in a journey, previous purchase, browsing behavior, customer service interactions, you can build a predictive model, right, out of historical data. You don't need rocket science to do this. And you can identify patterns. You can forecast both opportunities and issues before they arise and address them. And another example of using customer intelligence proactively is one of my clients actually does this. They make decisions around where they're buying land and what they're building on it. Who knew? Right? Customer intelligence can tell me within, I can buy incredible amounts of data, especially in the U.S. And I can see in my database how many people live within 25 miles of an area that I might want to invest in. And I can see what they buy from me and what how long they've done it, what the profitability model might be, all from my historical data. And then they make decisions on what they're going to build there. Hey, we got a lot of customers within 25 miles that are going to drive to a venue to see music or sports or something else. And then they build a building for that particular use case. And it's generally very successful because, again, they're using data proactively.
You are sharing this, the real important role of data and leveraging data. From feedbacks, what we discussed at the beginning, that customer experience is not only a survey, but it's an important piece of what we are doing. Asking around the customer feedback, what role does customer feedback play in this innovative CX approach? And how can leaders, CX managers use it without being reactive? Because the feedback is always after something happened.
Sure. So feedback is essential. You need it to be both proactive and reactive, right? If something goes wrong and you correct the error, usually you end up, statistics say, roughly 70% more loyal. So fixing problems and having feedback from a post perspective is essential, but it shouldn't just be, how much do you love me, right? You hear that a lot. How much do you love me and what score should I get? And that sounds a little needy over time, right? It's getting kind of overused. And so, you know, how else could you use customer input as compared to just feedback, right? One of the examples I'm going to use here is it guides product strategy. We did work some time ago with Mercedes. And one of the questions that we had people ask at the end of a conversation was, what one product would you like us to build? Because, you know, we're kind of interested in what else do you have in your garage, right? So we've called it share garage. And what to a person's everyone was saying is we'd like you to build an SUV. We have this SUV, and that at the time it was mostly Ford Explorers because it was early in the market for child carrier cars that were not the typical minivan, right? And everybody kept saying, gee, we'd like to have an SUV in our garage that was made by Mercedes. They listened, and it was their number one product, and I think it might still be their number one product, because it, again, had the brand value of quality and safety and all of that, but it was also going to be carrying around kids and dogs and soccer teams and all that other stuff, right? Another example is proactive outreach. So if you're done a segmentation, a statistical segmentation, and you understand the journey of your groups, there are a lot of different behavioral things that you can learn. One of them might be, oh, gee, people have a little problem with product setup in this group because we're getting a lot of calls from this segment around how to set up the product. Or if you're doing something, I did some work with a medical device company, and there were people who were really active and wanted to know what their continuous glucose was, right? Because they were diabetic and they were very proactive. And there were ones that were very reactive, right? And what we found an interesting thing about that is that generally it was a parent or a spouse really wanted to make sure that they could monitor the sugar level of that person, even if that person didn't want to have it happen. So they created a little software tool that gave them alerts if, in fact, something was going awry, if the kid was in school and their blood sugar was dropping, or they were at work and they saw their spouse hadn't had lunch, they could do something proactive. So looking at the data allowed them to be proactive, create a new product, and that new product made them much stickier. And when you interviewed them, you'd get terms like, gee, what's the best thing about this product? And that person would say, well, gee, I know my spouse will wake up in the morning. That is pretty compelling.
Clear. I think when we are going into the healthcare industry, then it's something completely different. It's about our health, and we have only one, and we want to keep it, but we want also that our relatives, our friends, our family keep it, and therefore it's extremely important.
Yep.
Speaking about this relationship with parents, relatives, and friends, but also thinking in working in a company, the culture there is also a key topic if you want to be proactive, if you want to keep innovating and prioritizing innovation over simply responding to customer issues and trying to find solutions. How do you advise businesses to work on the culture within a company?
Sure. Culture is a tough nut, right? I like helping people start with hiring the right people, right? When you've got a new person coming in, I've always looked at it in kind of two pieces. There's the skills they have and then the behaviors. You can teach skills, but the kind of person that you want to hire with empathy and with the ability to inculcate themselves with the brand promise is something that you really want to know. And that's where you want to start. When you do onboarding, rather than just teaching them how to use the computer or where the bathrooms are and things like that, you really want to make sure they're responsible and rewarded for innovation, right? So especially when that improves the customer's experience, right? Now, that has to be managed because you don't want 100 people running around being innovative an off the cuff. But just like Six Sigma and quality programs and disciplines, right? You can energize your teams the exact same way, reward them. I tend to like rewarding people. I call it comrade pay, rewarding the group for working together to find a customer's experience improvement as compared to rewarding individuals. And essentially, getting them to be competitive with each other, which ends up not ending up in a good experience oftentimes, right? So everyone eventually touches a customer, even if it's legal or HR, bringing them in as well to be innovative, because oftentimes when you do a journey map, it's always the channels and the department handoffs that cause the problems. And, when you hear things like, well, I'm not customer facing, well, the person you're serving might be a customer then because they're customer facing. And just making it really straightforward, even in your supply chain or back office, that everything ends up at the customer is a great first step.
And I think this is the key. Without customer, there is no business, and therefore there is no customer-facing role or no non-customer-facing roles.
Exactly.
And perhaps based on the we are discussing about innovation and being proactive, what future trends in CX do you see that will push companies to become really more proactive?
Sure. Hopefully it's not having the same conversation 10 years from now. Because really, I am a little disturbed that the things we could have done in 1999 are still out there for people to do. So, you know, innovation goes beyond a reactive service. It addresses needs before the customers even realize them. I can't remember the movie. I think it was Howard's End. And, oh, the greatest thing is the head of the household said, you know, I know what my person wants before they even know that they want it, right? So really having that experience be effortless and supportive and personalized is where we need to go. And though AI is the shiny object that everybody is chasing today or afraid of, there's a lot you can do with your historical data by extending it to do predictive models. And yes, AI-driven point solutions, right? There's tons of really interesting little point solutions that can help you with your making your historical data predictive and understanding the value, needs, and behaviors of your customers. If you just started doing that and understanding especially who your best customers were, so lifetime value, and that would enable you to make strategic and tactical decisions upstream. Again, not so much the how much do you love me, more of how I'm going to use customer intelligence.
Thank you. Now, you mentioned that, but I need to ask this question because I always ask this question. And in 10 years from now, which topics are we discussing on the CX Goalkeeper podcast?
Well, hopefully we've implemented things more and better. So I'll use self-service. Self-service is such an interesting thing because companies like FedEx and the airlines who actually offloaded a ton of work onto the actual customer, and we love it, right? So I can print my own boarding pass. I can see where I can fill out the entire bill of lading. I can ship it. I can track it. I can do all that. I don't need to call you. I'm loving self-service, right? So based on data-driven predictions, having your CRM and data activation solutions tied together so that you can do more self-service as you need it with things like frequently asked questions, video tutorials, community forums, all of these being available and not, and again, not being a barrier to getting a live person, but being a choice. So someone can choose to do something, and if they want to then hit the pound or the zero or whenever you get a live person to help them, they can do that. You know, I think that's a flaw in a lot of customer experience, I guess, future states, is everyone wants digital transformation. Not everybody wants to be digitally transformed all the time, right? I want what I want. And that takes us to one-to-one, right? So Pepperson Rogers in the 90s was talking about, if you can understand what I'm thinking and feeling and doing, and you can offer me personalized options, then I'm going to be a customer forever. AI and one-to-one solutions still are like a dream for people. And truly, I don't understand it because all the tools have been here for a long time. AI can really help with that, right? So the opportunity of using some of the tools that are out there today, and they'll get better, right? I just had a listen to a great podcast around a sentient AI, which is a little terrifying, but it, when well managed, it will be great. But it'll be less expensive and more achievable to have one-to-one, which to me is the ultimate of what customer experience should be.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, it also adds 4 to 8% to your bottom line while you're doing it. So, you know, if done right, one-to-one makes you money while it delights customers.
Thank you very much. And we are looking forward for this future. Mari, what's the best way to contact you?
You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm not the massage therapist or the doctor. So you'll find me under Partner Management Consulting when you look at me there, or you can find me at valerie.peck at elevatexconsulting.com.
Thank you very much. And for the audience, you will find all the information also in the show notes. We are coming to the last question. It's Valerie, golden nugget, it's something that we discussed or something new to leave to the audience with.
Sure. I found if you approach innovation with a feeling of curiosity and an open mind, it gives you the freedom to do some really interesting things. So strip off your trepidation and fear of having people laugh at this kernel. If you've got a wow idea, say it. There's lots of people who can cut down an idea, but there's not a whole lot of people who have them. So don't be afraid, right? There's all sorts of really interesting things. And sometimes even a small innovation can have a huge impact.
Thank you very much, Valerie, for your time. It was a great, great pleasure to have you on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been fun. I hope I helped.
Valerie, please stay with me. Perhaps we can continue our one-to-one, as you said earlier. But for the audience, it's everything for today. I hope that you enjoyed this discussion as much as I did. Please follow Valerie on LinkedIn. Contact Valerie if you have any questions, or come to me and I will address you to the right Valerie. You know, feedback is a gift. If you have feedback on this episode, please let me know. Let us know. We want always to be a bit better. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth. Subscribe it. Share it. Until the next episode, please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business. We are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you.